Of Chof Dalet Amud Aleph, we'll begin Chof Gimel Amud Beis, a few lines from the bottom. Boy mine Rav Yosef Braid Rav Nechunya. It's about six lines from the bottom. Boy mine Rav Yosef Braid Rav Nechunya Rav Yehuda Mao Sheneach Adam Tfilov Tachas Merash Yosef. Can a person put the tefillin under his head when he's lying down in bed? Can he put the tefillin under his head? Tachas maraglais of loy kami boiler. Under his feet, that's not a shaila. Shinoi behem meneg bisoyim, because it's disgraceful for the tefillin. Ki kami boiler, my shaila is tachas marashois of my. Can he put it under his head? Is that considered disgraceful or not? Amr lehachi amar shmuel mutter. Shmuel says it's mutter, afilo ishte imoy. Even if his wife is with him, it's still mutter. If his wife is with him, there's a possibility that he would have relations with her, so how could it be mutter? And before Hashem speak out, they were talking where the tefillin is wrapped in a double kli. It's put in a kli beside a kli. So it's considered to be, as far as that's concerned, in a separate compartment. The question is, though, is it disgraceful for him to be lying on the tefillin to have it under his head? Shmuel says, mutter afilo ishte imoy. Maysville asks you a kasha, lo yaniach adam tefilav, tachas maragloisav, he cannot put it under his feet, mipnei shenoi gav minik bizoin, because it's disgraceful. Aval manichen, tachas maragloisav, but he could put it under his head. However, vim hoisa ishto imoi, osur, but if his wife was with him, then it's osur. However, hayamakam shegavoy gimel tefachim, he was on a ledge which is three tefachim higher, so that's considered to be in a separate place. Oynamach gimel tefachim, or three tefachim lower, mutter, then it's mutter. However, we see clearly that if his wife is with him, that it's also to yufta. The shmuel to yufta, we see a clear kashan shmuel to yufta from this brisa that it is also if he's with his wife. Amar Rava, Rava says, afagav d'tanya to yufta the shmuel, even though we see from the brisa that it refutes Shmuel, Sakashan Shmuel, nevertheless, in Kamosay, nevertheless, the halacha is like Shmuel. My time, call in the Tirusa, because any additional protection for the tefillin is considered preferable. And if this will afford him more protection, that he's protecting it under, it's under his head and he's guarding it, therefore it would be mutter. Before Shem asks the question, if we see clearly from the Brisa that that's not so, how can Rava say that nevertheless we paskin like Shmuel? You know, Yeshua says it's really based on an earlier Brisa, a Brisa that we had previously, Legabe Abeis HaKiseh. Over there, there was an original version that it's also to bring the tefillin to Abeis HaKiseh, it has to remove Dalet Amos away. Later generations, they said they were matirit, because kol netirusa tve odiv, that we give priority to guarding the tefillin. So just like we say, we don't put it in a chaloyin that samach lirshusa rabim because ovid rochem could pass by and take it. We don't put it in a hole in the ground because mice can get to it. And therefore, for the protection of the tefillin, even though it's somewhat disrespectful, that takes priority. Here also, we apply that principle over here, even though the Braisa said that Ishtoi is also, but for the sake of Netirusa, for guarding the tefillin, like we see from the previous Braisa, Lagabe Beis HaKiseh, that in later generations they gave priority to guarding the tefillin, that's why we paskin like Shmuel. The Hechaman Ochlohu, so where exactly does he put it? So he puts it between the mattress and the pillow, but not directly under his head. So we minimize this element of design, so it's not lying mamish on top of the tefillin. It's not directly under his head. Reflecting more about Tani Revi Chia Menichem Bekoyva Tachsim Rav Sheisav. I, Rav Chia, said that he put it in a pouch under his head. So the implication is that it's directly under his head. Tosfos asks, where do we see over here that it's directly under his head? It just says, Menichem bekoiva tachas mirash yosef. He puts it in a pouch under his head. So Tosfos says that if it wouldn't be directly under his head, we wouldn't emphasize over here that it's in a pouch. It seems to be that the It's emphasized that it's in a pouch to teach you that since it's in a pouch, he can put it directly under his head. Gemara says, no, it's not directly under its head. Gemara answered, the mapet lelamusha the kuvilabar, where it protrudes, where it bulges, that's outside, meaning in the pouch itself, where the tefillin is, where the place of the tefillin itself is outside, it's not directly under his head. The rest of the pouch can be under his head, but where the tefillin is placed, that place where the tefillin is should be outside, not directly under his head. Bar Kapora, Tzara Levikilsa, Umapik, Lemurshon, Lebar. Bar Kapora took the tefillin, he wrapped it in the canopy surrounding his bed, so presumably it was in a pouch. It was wrapped in the canopy around his bed, so it was a kli, b'sei kli was in a double protection. And Umapik, Lemurshon, Lebar, where the tefillin was, it protruded outside, it was not directly under his head. Rav Shisha, Brei, the Ravidi, Manachlu, Ashar Shifa, he put it on a stool. Upara Sudra, love. And he put it on a stool, so it was not under his head. And again, it was in a pouch, and he covered it with a turban or a scarf. Amar Rav Amnon Bar Eder Rav Yosef Zimna Chada Havikam Nekamid Rav Amar Li Zil Aisali Tefillin. So it was before Rav, he said, "Bring me my tefillin." Ashkechinu, and so I went to get his tefillin, and I found that the tefillin. Where was his tefillin? I found them Ben Karla Kesesh Liking in a Rosha. That they are between the pillow and the mattress, not directly under where the head would rest. Aviadana the yam tefilava, and therefore I understood from that that what he was teaching me was this: he was instructing me halacha lemaisa, that it was the yom of the tefillah, the previous day of the yom of the tefillah, and therefore he had relations with his wife that night. The Yom HaTefillah, like Maron, Halacha L'maisu, David, and he wanted to instruct me, and he showed the Halacha L'maisu, that this is where the tefillin is placed, and even if he has relations with his wife. So the previous night was the night of the tefillah, and that was the Yom the Aina, and therefore he showed me that this is where tefillin is placed, even when he's with his wife. Boy, my name Rav Yosef Bar Eder Rav Nachuni Rav Yehuda Shnayim Shishen B'mita Achas. Two people are lying in a bed together, not clothed. Ma'ashe Yezeh Yachzer Panav V'yikra Krishma V'zeh Yachzer Panav V'yikra Krishma. So there are two men, their backsides are touching each other. Can they recite Krishma in that manner? Is that a problem of consider touching an erva? And it would be aser to recite Krishna while touching a makam erva? Or do we say no, it's just their backsides are touching and therefore it would be mutar? Tosafos points out that a person cannot recite Krishna if he is not clothed. So how in any event, even if they're not touching, how in any event can he recite Krishna? So this is a case of talking where his head is outside the blanket. He's covered by a blanket, so he's not looking, he's not gazing at the erva. He's not looking at the makama erva. And either this mandamer does not hold there's a problem of libay rayus erva, because even a person covered with a blanket, there's a mandamer, and we paskin that there has to be a separation between his heart and his erva, that his heart can't be looking at the makama erva. So either this mandamer does not hold of that, or it's talking where there was a belt or something tight around, so there was a separation between his lave and the erva, not only his eyes and the erva, and his lave and the erva as well. So that's a question. If their backsides are touching, can he recite Krishna? He says it's mutter, two men it's mutter, and even if it be wife with him, it will also be mutter. What do you mean? You're telling me that it's mutter even with his wife, meaning that his wife is mutter, it's mutter with his wife, and certainly with another man, with another person. What do you mean to say that? Adarab, it's just the opposite. Ishta kegufa. It's davka with his wife that it's mutter because he's accustomed to being with his wife and ishta kegufa. But achir lav kegufa. But somebody else he's not accustomed to, and that might arouse machshavas, and therefore someone else would be also. So Rav Yosef holds it's only his wife that he's mutter with, but not with another person. So that's machlekes. So Shmuel says that it's mutter with both. And Rav Yosef, it's only mutter with his wife. Meisel ask you a kasha, shnayim sheyishnei b'mitachas, two people are in one bed. Zeh machzer pana v'kayra, zeh machzer pana v'kayra. They turn the opposite way, and they can say Krishna, they can write recite Krishna. V'tanya achriti, I then another brisa says, hayoshen b'mita ubana v'bnei b'sei b'tzidai, he's in a bed, and he has his children with him. Unless there's a separation, there's a talus, that's a separation between, so they're not touching, the bodies are not touching, it's also, if the bodies are touching and they're not clothed, then it's also. But if they're little children, they're minor, then it's mutter. So now, Bishlam Rav Yosef like kasha. So it seems to be contradictory, but according to Rav Yosef, it's not kasha. It's not a kasha. Abi Ishta, the first price that says that machzer panav zeh, that it's mutter, it's talking with his wife. With his wife that he's cussing, it's mutter. Ha, ba'acha, the second price that says it's also is talking with someone who's not his wife, with somebody else. And Lishmuel Kash, but according to Shmuel, says that it's mutter, in both cases it's mutter, not only his wife, even when Acher it's mutter, how can we resolve the steer in the braisa? And Lishmuel Kash, even according to Yosef, why is this not a problem? The braisa says that if his family is with him, he cannot say Krishna. Now, Banav Bnei Beisai, that family would imply his wife as well. So the braisa says, the second braisa is saying that even if it's his wife, he can't say Krishna. And even Rav Yosef agrees that if it's his wife, he could. It says, if he's Yoshin b'mito, Banav Bnei Beisai b'mito, yikar Krishna, alakim, raisa, tolis, mafsekis b'neim. Unless it's talisa mafsika, mafsika said it's a separation. Elamayislav Meimer, what must you say according to Rav Yosef? So Mayislav Meimer, Ishtal Rav Yosef Tanoi, you must say that it's a machlokes Tanoim. Yes, the two brises are contradictory. They're two different opinions. They're two different Tanoim. So you have to say that according to Rav Yosef, in any event, regarding his wife, the Didinami Tanoi, as far as I'm concerned, yeah, I say, Shmuel says, that with somebody else it's mutter. The braisa here, it says, implies that it's also. It's a machlokes tanoim. It's a machlokes tanoim. Omer ma, ze machzer panav v'kayra Krishna. So they say they each turn to the opposite direction, then they write and recite Krishna. Vayika agava is. But their backsides are touching. Why isn't that a problem of erva, of touching the erva? Where it says Messiah Lil the Rav Huna, it's a riot to Rav Huna, Dam Rav Huna Agav, Saint Bam Mishum, Erva. It says backsides are not defined as Erva in this context, it's not defined as Erva, and therefore if they're touching, there's no issue to recite Krishna. Lema Messiah Lil Rav Huna, let's bring a riot to what Rav Huna said from the following. O Yisha Yeshevis to Kaitzala, Halasa Aruma. If a woman is not clothed and she's braiding her challah, she's making a challah, so she has to be mafresh challah, she has to make a bracha. She can do it even though she's being mafresh challah and she's making a bracha. How could she make a bracha if she's not clothed? Because her erva can be covered in the ground. She's sitting on the ground. But not a man, because he'll be exposed regardless. So don't we see over here that even though her backside is exposed, nevertheless, she can recite the bracha. It's not considered an error. Mora says, no, it's not arrived from here because Tirgama Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Gagoyin Shoyopaneh Tochos Bekarka. The case is talking where she's pressed against the ground, so she's not exposed. And from the backside either, she's not exposed. So therefore, you have no raya from this case to Rav Huna's doom. It says in the Brisa that we just learned that if he has little children with him, then it's mutter. It's not considered a problem that they're with him in the bed, ba'at kama, until one age. If it's a young girl, it's until the age of 3 years and a day. V'tinak, a boy, ben tisha shanim v'yemecha, to the age of 9 and a day. Some say that a girl is 11 years and a day, and a boy 12 years and a day. But in any event, in both cases, it's only to the age of maturity before they're developed in the chest and in the sear, in the hair. What we learned previously, the Gabi Tefillin, putting the Tefillin under his head, we said even though the Brice was a Tiyuf de Shmuel, nevertheless, Hilchos Kavase. Nevertheless, Halachi is like him in any event. Nevertheless, Hilchos Kavase de Shmuel. What about in this case over here, where he said that he can recite Krishma if he is not only with his wife, but even with someone else in a mitzvah, and their backs are touching each other. Do you weave it everything in one weave? Where the mahalach is mentioned, like Shmuel, that's what we paskin, but where it's not mentioned, we don't. If some of the seir hair is protruding from his beged, there's a hole in the beged and the seir is protruding. Mahu, is that considered erva? Can he recite Krishma? Opposite that, korala, he said aloud, seir, meaning it's meaningless. It's not considered erva, and it is mutar to recite to Krishma. Omer of Yitzhak Tefach, Isha erva. A tefach, an area of a tefach, of exposed area by a woman, is considered erva. That's considered erva. So lamai, as far as what? What is this halacha, why is it relevant, and which area of the halacha is it relevant, that if there's a tefach, of exposed area by a woman, it's considered erva? If it's the point is, as far as gazing at her, that to look at her for the purpose of deriving pleasure, deriving anna. So, what says they can't be? Because for Amar of Sheshes, Lama Mana Kosso Tachshitin Shebapotsim Tachshitin Shebifnim, after the Mechome in Midian, the Bnei Israel fought the Midianim, they fought Midian, and they captured all of their Tachshitim, the jewelry, and they were makrav, they bought the jewelry from the woman, they brought it to be makdashit to the Mishkan as a kapara for perhaps some machshavas that they had during the war, or gazing at women during the war. And it lists the jewelry that was brought. It lists jewelry that tachshitin shebachus, like earrings, etc., and tachshitin shebifnim, that they used to wear ornaments covering their erva, covering their hidden parts as well. To tell you, why does it list them all together? One would think that the kapara that they need, that's the way Marsha explains it, one would think that the kapara that they need is only for those areas that are hidden. There they would have the machshava, and there they would need the kapara. Why does it list the jewelry from the exposed areas, like rings or earrings, nose rings, etc.? Loimach, it teaches you, call mistakel bas b'ketana shalisha, kilo mistakel b'malka matayr. If one gazes even at a esbeketana, a small finger, it's like gazing at the malka matayr. So that's why it's listed, all the jewelry, because we require a kapara for the tachshitin shebifnim, but tachshitin shebechutz as well, if they were gazing at it. So you see that if it's in the, as far as the isra of gazing at a woman for purpose of getting hanah, it's not a tefach. And here it's even Esbektana, and here we're saying that if it's a tefach, so Lugabe, what is this halacha mentioned? Ella, the Gemara says, Beishto Lakrish. Ella, what we're talking about is not gazing. It's considered a Mokum Erva, a place in the woman which is normally covered. And now it's exposed, even if he's not gazing at it, but he's just within eyesight, you cannot recite Krishna over there. It's because it's also to recite Krishna, neged emakam erva. And if this is normally a covered area, an area that's not exposed, even if he's not gazing and he's not gazing it for pleasure or not even gazing it, it's just in front of him, then if it's a tefach, it's also to recite Krishna. Omar of Chista, Sheikh Bi'isha Erva, the thigh of a woman is considered Erva. That's considered a Makam Erva, and therefore one may not recite Krishna opposite the Sheikh of an Isha, and even if he's not gazing at it, the thigh is considered a Makam Erva, and one may not be mustakel on the Sheikh. Even if it's not for the purpose of deriving pleasure, one cannot be mistakel, that's considered a mokum erva. Shenermar, we know, goli sheik, ivri naharis. The thigh is exposed, and they cross the river. And that shows that that's considered an exposure. Uksiv, tigal arvoseh, gamtera karpalseh. And it says that your erva has been exposed. So you see that it's considered erva. Kol bi'isha erva, singing of a woman is considered erva. To listen to the sound of the singing is considered an erva. And there are similarly, one may not recite Krishna hearing the sound of an isha, of an isha who is to him an erva. He may not listen and hear that sound. The kol is considered an erva, and there's different applications of it regarding Krishna or even not regarding Krishna. And much discussion in the Paiskim. Amar Sheshes Seir Beisha Erva, uncovered hair by a woman is considered Erva Shenemar Sarech Ke'eder Ha'izim. It talks about in Shir Shirim the Yoifi of a woman, and it talks about the Seir. So the Seir is considered an Erva similarly, therefore it has these applications as far as Krishna and as far as being Mistaka. Said that I saw Rebbe, I witnessed that his tefillin were hanging. They were suspended from a peg. How can that be? I will learn in the Braisa Toilet Tefillah, someone who suspends his tefillin, they're hanging. His life is suspending, is hanging. The ones who darshan the hidden secrets, they said, your life will be hanging in front of you. That someone who has his tefillin hanging, his life is hanging in balance. From the Gemara, like Kasha, how Ritzuah, how Ritzitza. It depends if it's hanging from the straps, from the Ritzuah, so the Ksitza, or from the bottom, from the boxes. If it's a Ritzuah, it's Mutter, but the bottom is also Vibayasema. Loishna Ritzuah, Loishna Ksitza. It's also, in both cases, it's also. V'chi tala Rebbe. What was Rebbe? It was Ksitza. It was in a pouch, it was in a container, and there it was hanging, but not from the Ritzuah, not from the bottom, neither of them. V'ksia Kisil tala. That's how it was hanging. Frag digamori al-chamayla meimer of that. So what's the chiddush? Mor says, no. Ma'on the same with the boy hanocha ke sefer taira. You might think that it has to be resting down. It has to be like a sefer taira, that it's not hanging at all. Even in a container or a pouch, it can't be hanging, it can't be dangling. Kamash malan, that tefillin, even though it has parshas and it has the ketusha, it's not like a sefer taira. A sefer taira can't be hanging at all, but tefillin could if it's in a kisa in a pouch.